Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Week 36 of 50, The Hustler, the bonus session. It's 9:24 p.m. on Sunday, September 5th. I'm at the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles, California, after a long and busy day, like all of them have been pretty much for about 4 years now. I'm with Patrons, B-Funk, and Moose. And if you don't know what a Patron is, it's someone who signs up to support my content on patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. I've called them patrons since the beginning, like bosses, even though they're not my bosses, but they are paying my salary. You get it. And anyways, I mentioned this in the last drop and in many drops. One thing I wanted to do for people who are supporting my content was give back to them, right? They're giving back to me, and now I want to give back to them. I want to re-give. And so I created a community for them, and it's just turned into something I couldn't even have imagined. I thought it'd just be an online community, and I thought it'd be pretty cool, and it became an online community that was way cool. And now, as you can tell, it's spilling over into real life. I spend all my time with people that I've met through content and, you know, the community, and the whole thing, everyone in it is communal. That's just the only rule. You can't be a fucking nit. You cannot be about yourself. It's the only rule. And you can't infringe on anyone, right? So that's what nits do. They're just selfish. They infringe. Fuck them. That's the only rule. Nothing else matters, right? You just got to be about the group. So that's the culture that's been established, and we work hard to protect. It's not a cult of any sort. It's just people who don't like nits and don't want to deal with them and want to. It's so nice to be around people cut from the same cloth who care about the group. And anyways, when anything ever pops up, someone needs help in the community, someone's always there to help them, or people band together and help in bigger situations. And this is an instance of it right here. I want to do good for the Hustler. They're sponsoring this podcast now, and Ryan has been very cool, giving me a shot at Hustler Casino Live commentating. I want to crush it. I want to crush the commentating, and I want to give the Hustler Casino, which is separate from the stream, I want to give them value for the sponsorship. So partly every time I go up to 1 week every month, I'm going to keep all the drops public. Normally, the drop you heard yesterday, the lead up, that would be private for patrons only. And this bonus session that you're about to hear about, that would also be private, right? And then everyone usually gets the session plus scoreboard check. Well, so, and then there's an interview or, you know, a second part of that session and scoreboard check on Friday. And so instead of having two private and two public, weeks that I'm up in LA, they're all going to be public. Shine a light on the Hustler Casino, right? On my time in the booth. And also, I've agreed to play my two sessions for the week at the Hustler Casino, as long as I can get, you know, some decent action. And really, that'll be on me. And so you can't snap your fingers and move action from one place to another. But poker players are not loyal. They'll go wherever the best action is. And I'm one of those that can actually cultivate it. And it's nice to have help. It's nice to have two fucking whales, I mean patrons, coming to sit with you to start a game. Because once we get it going, we'll be drinking, we'll be joking, we'll be plenty of action, and people will love it, and then we'll start building. That'll be the Hustler game, the 5-5-10. It'll be, anyone in LA is going to be, oh, I'm going to go play 5-5-10. You can buy it for $300 if you don't have a lot of money, and you can buy it for $1,500. It's or anywhere in between, and it combines player pools. It's just incredibly logical and basic, but it's going to work. And I, you know, came up with the structure for this casino and call it the Hustler game. And anyways, it's nice to have people to have your back. I could do it. I could just go there and like be the guy drinking and, you know, playing the most hands and telling the most jokes. And I've done that my whole career. And that's how I always build these huge games anywhere I go. I won't play fucking 100, 200 at the Players Club in Ventura and, you know, 20, 40, 80, no limit at the Gardens when it was a tent on a Tuesday morning. And so I know how to build games, but it's nice to have some support. So shout out to B-Funk and Moose for agreeing to help me out on this night. And the plan is we're going to get in a 5-5 game, and there's two main games and a must-move game. And once we get into, once we all get from the must-move to the main, we'll get in the same main game. We'll get everyone to agree to straddle, which I do 98% of my sessions anyways, and we'll make it official. And then we have the Hustler game, right? That's the plan that we talked about. And they're cool with that. They want to play three blinds. They don't want to play 5-5. And anyways, there's no seat yet in a 5-5. There are three games going, and B-Funk gets in first, and then Moose is next. I didn't drive, so I always say the drivers go first. I'm going to start out in a 2-5 game that has a $100 to $300 buy-in. And my first note is I bought in with Chili's money. So if you listened yesterday, I won some money playing 357 at the Savages Airbnb in Oceanside. And so you know how you bring your money, your poker money. Well, I didn't even need to use that because I'd won $300 playing 357. And Chili Dog, you know, he played great. He just ran bad. And that happens, you know. Anyways, I wrote bottom with Chili's money. And then I'm looking around and I'm just going to be honest. This place doesn't have the best action yet. It will. It will have the best action if, and the reason I know is because the general manager, Sean Yapel, who I talked to a bunch, he actually has open ears, right? And he's actually going to listen to someone who's been doing this shit for decades, building games. And yeah, they're already, it was my suggestion to match up whatever is on stream, whether it's PLO or anti-game or whatever, to have that in those tables that you can see when you're watching Hustler Casino Live. Those three tables out there, have that there as well. And that way, Ryan has a bullpen of sort. If a player busts, he can go grab someone from those tables and maybe eventually have another guy with a camera like they do in the World Series of Poker. They get the, you know, the main table, and then they have other tables where a guy cruises around. People like that stuff. People love poker. They want to be on stream, and I got some good ideas for him. And also, as mentioned several times, this game, this 5-5-10 is the bridge from their player pool now, who's playing games where the rake is just too high. 2-5 with a $300 cap, it's too, you know. And now they can play in a game where they can actually win, and it's going to draw other players who play to win money to either supplement their income or foreign income. And anyways, the reason I'm so, aside from the management being so good there, is it's so easy to get on a freeway from Hustler. Like when I drive back to San Diego on Friday nights after doing stream, I'm on a freeway in like a minute or two. And there's just so many freeways, and I'm pretty confident this place is going to do great. And I'm in this 2-5, 1 to 300 game, and I'm folding because I'm paranoid of that rake. I am. And I'm just kind of looking up on the walls. And this place, the Hustler, is just very gaudy and awesome. And Larry Frint was a grandiose dude, no question. And there's a frame up there, and it has all the Hustler Casino Live players, all the ballers. And it's all guys I used to battle with, Andy and Garrett and other, you know, just whoever else. And they're all millionaires now. And I'm a negative 100,000-aire. And I don't know. It's just the story. It's fine. Story's not over. And I didn't, you know, it's not like I lost money playing poker. I just punted it. I just had to. I had to go hit a rock bottom. And that's well documented at this point. I don't need to get into it in this drop. But I'm sure you have people in your life. You say, well, that person just needs to hit the bottom and hopefully they bounce. And I feel like I hit it in 2017 and I'm bouncing slowly. But I'm committed to, you know, getting back to flush. That's what this podcast is all about. It's a grind. It's not easy, especially you know, when you're older and got so much shit going on. But anyways, the straddle's on in this game. So it's 2-5-10. I have $300 and people limp. I just overlimp with 9-8 of spades. If I raise and someone goes all in, I have to call. I'm just going to overlimp. Flop comes 8-7-2. Someone bets, I call. And the turn's a 10 and same guy bets. And I'm open-headed with a good hand. I call and the river's a king. He checks, I check. We have the same hand. And somehow I'm exactly even. I may have ordered some drinks already. I'm going to tip well anywhere I go, no matter what. But especially at this place, I want to, you know, it feels kind of cool to kind of like have a working relationship with a casino. And yeah. And then I lost $20. I don't know, in the blinds or whatever. Or maybe bought some drinks for someone else. And then I got called to the 5-5 must move game. Which the plan is to play in this must move, get to a main game, get B-Funk and Moose in the same main game, get the straddle on, which is not hard. People love it. Anyone who's good at poker loves the straddle because they know it makes the pot bigger and now rake is less of a beast and it's more complex. And anyone who likes action likes it. The only people that don't like the straddle are the ones sucking the life out of fucking poker. It's true. It's fucking true. Anyways, that's the plan. So I max buy in. You can buy in for $1,000 and... If you've been listening to this podcast a lot, I don't max buy in Vegas because a lot of times a game will be fragile in Vegas. Vegas, everyone's trying to make a buck, right? You max buy in. A lot of people are scared of me for some reason. I think mainly it's because I have no nervous energy when I sit down at a poker table because I've done it I've done it a lot in my life. And I don't know, and I'm a very aggressive player and I can read people and whatever, but... this game's, LA's not fragile. Fuck no. Buy in for $1,000. You don't have to bullshit with a $700 buy-in. And, we got the straddle on for this hand. It's 5-5-10. I open to $30 and I have ace queen of spades and it gets to B-Funk in the blinds and he goes to 120. And this is a good hand. He's out of position. He 4X'd my open. I'm going to call. I have ace queen of spades and we're not deep. And the flop comes deuce 5-5 with a spade. He down bets. He bets $70. I'm sorry, into 240, and or 250. And I call, and the turn's an offsuit 10, and he checks. And I think he has ace king, and right around there. And so I want to bluff here with my hand, and I wanted to bet 180, and I just felt like if I bet 180, he's going to jam over me, and it's going to suck. I could have the best hand, but I'll probably have to fold. So I just, at the last second, decided to bet 200. It just looks a little stronger. It looks like I'm committed to stacking off, and he thinks for a while and folds, and he said he had ace-queen, same hand as me. So just that little, and he said he almost jammed. So just that little adjustment of, well, I want to do 180, but no, this guy has a bunch of heart. He's got a lot of heart, and... He lost a fucking 1,000 at dinner flipping, if you recall, if you listened to yesterday's drop. So just go a little bit more to 200. Just looks a little stronger, which you want in this situation. And yeah, he went in the tank for a little bit and folded the same hand. And the next note is Funk and Moose collude. And that's not true. They just played their hands very aggressively. It's the nicest way to say it. And it knocked me out of a pot. Now... Moose is all in. You remember Moose is a luck box if you've been listening to this podcast. He's all in on 5-queen-jack-jack-deuce where the flush got there on the river. After a guy bet 250, Moose went all in for about 1,200 or something. And this is interesting. I'm not really watching the hand, but I know Moose has it when he shoves here. It's a big shove. I know he has it. And the guy next to me says, I didn't expect that because... One guy bet 250 and he went all in for 1,200 or something. And I said, he's a horrible player. And I realize when I say this, this might affect action. I'm not trying to. I'm just saying he's a horrible player because that's what you do. You lighten things up at the poker table. And I'm also confident he has it. So it would suck if he was bluffing. And I said, he's a horrible player. And then the other guy says, okay, I'll call. Anyways, the other guy folded king jack for trips face up and Moose just smiled. You know, he's stoned. Remember he drove me over here. If you listen to last night's drop and he's smoking a joint on the way and I got contact high and I asked him later and he made a flush on the river. Fucking luck box. Anyways, I get pocket fours in a nice spot, multi-way $25 each, so like six of us. And you know, it's not hard to get the money in when you flop a set. Well, I flopped a, and that's okay. The next note is I have queen jack offsuit, and a guy opens to 6x, so it's just a 5-5 hand. He opens to 30. Three people call. I'm in the small blind, and I fold. So I'm gonna play good. It seems like I've won five sessions in a row. High rake, worst position. The guy opening 6x seemed like he had a good hand. I'm just dominated so often. It's just, I felt like putting it in my phone. I don't note every single hand I get dealt, but I felt like noting that one. And what's interesting is this guy barreled. He opened like under the gun and three whales called. So like Moose, B-Funk, and someone else. And I folded my queen jack offsuit like a fucking dirty grinder. And this guy bet into the field on 5-3 deuce. And like got some action, and then he fired on a six, which is, it's insane. It's just, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, it just is, these games can be great. This hustler will be popping soon. Just give me time, you know, and an open ear, and I've already got that. So, and I'm thinking, I need to be more of a hustler. What the fuck happened to me? I used to be a hustler. I used to get everyone to play giant all night long and think I was horrible at poker when I was really fucking good at it. And I kind of got away from that. And I need to be a little more like that. I want to be like a one that can sleep good at night. Like, I don't want to be a dirty hustler in any form. But I want, you know, poker's a soft hustle. That's what it is. When the guy who never bluffs all in is all in and trying to sell a bluff, it's hustling, right? It's a soft hustle. You try and be nice to the players who are horrible, and you try and get the good players out of your game by playing really hard against them. It's all a hustle. I need to be more of a hustler. I used to be, and I just kind of have gotten away from it. But now I'm sponsored by The Hustler, and I'll be playing at The Hustler, and it feels like the stars are aligning a little bit. And now it's time for my best play. And it's not that great, but it's good. The straddle's on. I've been folding for a while. Moose opens at 35. That means he was dealt in, and we all call. And I'm on the button with King 7 suited. And this is not, you know, in a bigger game, sure, you could think about 3-betting. Not here. No. Just call with King 7 of spades. Flop comes ace 5-3 and with a spade, and we all check. The turn is a 4, so now I have a gut shot. And the guy on my right, who said I didn't expect that when Moose went all in, and I said he's a horrible player, he bets 50, and he's on my right, and I just know when he bets 50, he has a 6. So he's betting 50 here, and he has a 6. So I don't know if he has 5-6, pocket 6s, but it's ace, 5-3-4. I know he has a 6, so I raised to 150 because I know no one had anything on the flop. And he's going to call and he's going to fold unless he makes a straight. And I'm blocking him to make a straight because I have a fucking 7 in my hand. And I'm just going to bet the river, you know, 250, and he's going to fold. Well, he snap calls, very consistent with a draw. And the river's a deuce. So it's ace, 5-3-4 deuce. And now he just goes all in, confirming what I already knew. He had a 6. But just I played the hand very well. I just flatted pre with a bad hand in position, suited, just definitely good in this game, but I didn't 3-bet because it's never working, and you know, stacks aren't great for it. And then on the turn, I just recognized what he had. Exactly, he had a 6 in his hand, and he did a forceful bet, and I 3x'd him, and I'm just going to get value from my bluff. If he doesn't hit, and he hit, I folded. So what? And now the next time I play, Moose opens, which means the dealer gave him 2 cards. So you just say, oh, I know, I'm going to put you on 2 cards. And I flat in the small blind with King 9 of clubs. Again, there's just no recourse in this kind of game. You don't want to be flatting in the small blind a ton in general. But in this game, with this hand, sure. And the flop comes Queen 10-4. So I flop a gut shot, and we all check. And the turn's a deuce, and there are 2 hearts out there. And I lead, and I have a gut shot, and, you know, might have the best hand. And Moose calls, so he's on a draw, and he could have ace-jack here, whatever. And the river's a 7 of hearts, and I just lead again. I want to fold out all his ace-highs, and he raises me huge. So this fucking kid made another flush. God damn it. And I fold it. And now I tell the floor, I said, when the three of us get in a main game, we're going to turn it into 5-5-10. Because I already talked to the general manager, and he said he was going to let the floor people know. And here, we're going to have the Hustler game at the Hustler. It already worked at the Sahara, if you listened to last week's session. So we're going to do it at the Hustler, where it was designed for. And he starts tilting at my request. And, you know, I've been tipping a lot. I haven't tipped him on this night. And I'm like, no, man. He's like, he kind of snaps at me. And he's an older guy. I'm so used to this. I don't care. And I said, no, but didn't you talk to the GM? Like, I just said, didn't you talk to Sean? And he says, no. And I know that's not true, but I also know that people have been in their job forever. You got to give them some leeway. And so he's tilting, but that's not going to work with me. And so I brought these two players to play 5-5-10, and the floor man's not going to let it happen. And I said to B-Funk and Moose, because they were like, when are we going to get this game on? Like, well, they don't want to play 5-5. I said, okay, we can go to the Gardens. They both live that way. I said, I'll fix this with the general manager moving forward. It's a process. You don't snap your fingers and change things in life. You work at it. There's, roadblocks. You get through them. And older floors, guys that have been floor for in the game for a long time, they're going to be resistant to anything new, even if it's really going to help their casino. And that's fine. So I said, we'll finish the rest of this session at the Gardens. And I'm up $400 when we leave the Hustler. And let me take a sip of this 7-Up Zero, and we'll drive from the Hustler to the Gardens. Because these guys want to play three blinds, mandatory. And I got them to come up from Long Beach, and they're happy to, you know, help me. But it seems the floor isn't going to help us on this night, and it's okay. It's not. It's just one night in the fucking world. And so I just know I'll just talk to the GM the next day or two, and then next time I play, we'll be at Hustler again, and we'll have the Hustler game going. Anyways, we drove to the Gardens, and that means another joint for Moose and more contact high for me. And we're trying to get in. It's sketch getting in. You gotta have a player's card, and I don't have a license. My license has been expired forever. I ordered a new one, it never came. I don't know. I got to figure that out. It's on my list of things to do, which is a long one. Anyways, the first guy I see is the guy that, if you listen to the Lake Elsinore session review, the reason reg, I don't remember what I called him, but he was very aggro, and he got me when I had aces, when I cold four bet. He had nines, and he called, and it came, I believe, 7 high, and I checked with like half a pot size bet behind, and he checked, and the turn was a 9. Good for him. He's actually a pretty cool guy. It seems like, well, I saw him playing. I played with him at Lake Elsinore. And then the first night I went to Hustler, I saw him playing at Hustler. And now I see him at Gardens. So people will just bounce around. A lot of times people will bounce around to break losing streaks, whatever. But they'll go where the action is. And so I'm confident that I'm going to do my part to fill the fucking, all the poker tables at the Hustler. It's a sick as fuck place. It feels good when you're in there. I don't know. But I get to the bar. So it was hard getting in. But the girl let me in. I get to the bar. And it's like a fucking, what? Like a soldier who's been at war for several years and gets back. They're so happy to see me at the bar. And I have mixed emotions about this. It's nice to be loved. But you're like, why are all the bartenders and waitresses? Because I used to put in work at the Gardens. I did. I'm not ashamed. I'm not proud. I don't have either of those things in my life, shame or pride. Anyways, we start a 5-5-10, which is what we wanted to play. But the cap is going to be $600 here. Well, that's bullshit. That's not good enough for me. You have to have a chance at winning. So it's not great, but whatever. I'm going to be playing with Moose and B-Funk, and that's some third rise shit, if you know what I mean. Okay, so Moose opens, and I call with pocket sixes. We got a 5-5-10 at the Gardens, and it's okay. We're going to fix the thing at the Hustler. And I could have lied and said we stayed there, but no, that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is a story, however it goes, and I think it'll get to where it needs to go, where the listener wants it to go, but I don't know. Anyways, Moose opens. It means the dealer at the fucking Gardens dealt him two cards too. I got sixes, call. Falcom's Jack Jack 4. And he checks. I bet. He calls. I think he has a 4. Turns a 7. He checks. I'll bet again with my 6s. He calls. River is a 9, completing the flush. He checks. I got to go for value again. I bet. He calls. My hand's good. Sorry, miss. I took you to town. You took me to the... First, you took me to the Hustler from Lucille's and Torrance. And then you took me to the Gardens. And I kind of repaid the favor by taking you to Value Town with those 6s on Jack Jack 4, 7, 9, flush get there. 3 streets. Unlucky, man. Okay, now I make top pair versus B-Funk. And I get a little fancy and I check back the turn to, you know, induce a call on the river. I don't know, I'm just getting a little bit locked. I overbet the river. He snap calls me. I just have a pair. It's good. And now they're talking about how good I run. These fucking luck boxes. And I say, like, you know, if I get the best hand in this game, it's problematic. I'm talking about no limit hold'em. I'm thinking, like, you know, everyone better learn to play PLO. If the dealers are going to start giving me the best hand again, learn to play PLO. You don't want to be playing this game. And fucking around, obviously, it's also kind of true. And they're very, you know, they're very unhappy that I'm winning. So very supportive of the podcast, but want me to lose all the time at the poker table. That's great. And they're needling me. And I'm up like jack shit. I had 6s on what? Jack, jack, 4, 7, 9, flush, get there. And I had top pair. And suddenly I'm fucking Jamie Gold. No. But I'm up dog shit. I'm up a few $100. And they're needling me for running good. And I know it's coming. I know it's fucking coming. And some weird feeling you get. And it's time for a best play nominee. And so I call 25 from the straddle, from the $10, with 6-5 of spades. It comes jack 3-3, 2 spades, and it gets bet and called in 2 spots. And I call with my 6-high flush draw. I normally fold, but I just had a read, just from watching the game, that they all had top pair somehow, and they all had top pair, and the turn was a 3. And I folded, and they all had 3s full of jacks. Who gives a shit? It was just a good read. Anyways, these guys are really upset that I'm winning. They want me to fail in life, these particular patrons, and that's okay. If that makes them feel good, that's fine. They want me to fail. They want me to lose my money. They want me to be devastated. They want me to have more and more financial stress. Maybe it makes the podcast better. I'm not sure, but I'm just hearing it from these two fucking luck boxes. They're normally luck boxes, and yeah, I'm up a few $100 because I got pocket 6s and the dealer, you know, dealt me the monster on jack, jack, 4, 9, 7 or whatever, 7, 9. And the flush got there and knew what Moose had. And I made top pair against B-Funk. This is a heater for me. And so, but I have that feeling. When I feel like people want me to lose, it's just, and I'm not up. You should, if you are luck box, that's your tax, right? You got to hear about it. And I can hear about it anyways. They have every right to needle me for running good, even though I'm not even running that good. I just am a little too busy, too worn out in life to handle it. And I start getting this weird feeling like I'm going to run bad. And I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but I bluff off a little bit with Kate. That's King 8. And shout out to E-Dunk. He calls King 8 Kate and King 7 Kevin. Well, I had Kate and I was in the straddle. A bunch of horrible players limped and it seemed like a spot to bluff, and someone hero called me. Big deal. Anyways, I open. So now it's 5-5-10-20 with a 600 cap, 30 big blinds, massive rake, and I don't know. It needs to be deeper than this. And I open to $70 with jack 8 of spades because it's 5-5-10-20, and someone calls, and the flop comes XXX, no jack or 8, and I check, and this guy just shoves all in because we're short stacked, and he shows me a king. I don't know why he's showing me a king. It's the best hand, and I wrote, this place sucks a dick tonight, and not in a good way. So I don't know why people say that as a derogatory thing. If you think about it, it's weird, but this place is not great tonight, I should say. There's no waitresses. Like, they've gone full, at the Gardens, they've gone full fucking cutthroat. We know you guys are degenerates. We're going to take advantage of you. We're not going to give you shit. So there's no waitresses. There's no player cards anymore. They don't give you points. And the food's not the same. And there's not really any action. The 600 max why do they have the 600 max? Because they don't want anyone good winning. They just want it all to go down the rake hole. And it's fine. It's short-term thinking. It's, you know, most people aren't going to realize it for a long time, and then they'll move somewhere else. Say if, like, someone who's a little bit influential starts, being sponsored by the Hustler. That might happen. Who knows? I need to go to the bar. It's nice to be loved. And I'm loved at the bar. And they're just happy to see me. And I need to get some drinks. No cocktail waitresses? Come on. So I come back and I send my bluff a paired board. So I have a straight draw, flush draw, it's a paired board. I take it. Now I get Jack 10 in a multi-way bloater and I flop. And that's fine. Not exactly the stuff luck boxes are made of, but it's okay. And the next hand that I played was ace deuce of diamonds, and I won $240. And the board when I had ace deuce of diamonds was nothing. That's right. So I don't know the details. I didn't write down the details either. I called with ace high or I bluffed, but I guess that's some luck box shit if you think about it. Whatever. And now it's time for a misstep. Does happen. I have 5-6 in a multi-way bloater. So it's 5-5, 10-20, and B-Funk opens, and people call. Or actually just one guy calls. This guy who was pretty cool calls. And they said he was action. He wasn't action. And I call with a 5-6, and it comes Jack 8-7. So I have an open-ended to the idiot end, and I like that. I like having a draw to the idiot end. And but the stacks are kind of deep now at this point because I ran so hot when I had those pocket sixes, remember? And it came Jack 4-7-9 when the flush got there, and then I had top pair ones, and I won with ace deuce of diamonds, nice pot with, you know, I didn't have anything, but whatever, that's luck box shit. Well, we're kind of deep. B-Funk's deep because maybe he got a double or something. Whatever. But Jack 8-7, and he bets. And there's the other guy in the pot calls, and I have 5-6, and I decide to gamble. I decide to send it in there. I don't think B-Funk can call with one pair here with a player behind. And hopefully the player behind is just weak when he kind of seems. Well, B-Funk tanks. And to my all-in, and he finally folds. Like, it's 1,000 more or something to his c-bet. And, you know, I'm trying to rep the guy that has two pair, the vet that has two pair and is jamming here to try and rep, like, something else. Well, I actually don't have two pair. I actually have the idiot open-ender. But I felt like it would work against B-Funk. And the other guy only had $450 left. So I was hoping he would fold, and if he doesn't, whatever, I'm open-ended. He called, he had middle pair, and I bricked, and he won, and I had to call for chips. And then we're doing $50 bomb pots. This is another thing they do at the Gardens. They do a bomb pot anytime a new player sits, anytime a dealer sits, anytime there's a fucking setup, anytime anything happens. Because the whole goal at the Gardens is to take all the poker skill out, and that's smart if you're the one counting the rake. But if you're a poker player, you want to have, like, some control over your results, I think. I don't know. Or at least you want cocktail service if you're just going to be in there bomb potting all the time. And so it's $50. And I get it in three ways. I have the best hand on the, it's a wet board, but I got top pair, good kicker. And the opponent has a good draw, and he binks. And now it's time for chips. So another rebuy. And then I call an all-in from a short stack. I have ace high. It's good. That's some luck box shit right there. And then I flop trips against Moose, but he makes runner-runner flush. Oh, my God. This fucking kid. And then Moose goes all-in against some guy's set, and Moose is open-ended, and he wins. Okay, I'm the luck box. Sure. I do make a flush on a shit board and win a little bit. And then I call preflop another bloater. I have king 10. We're playing 5-5, 10-20. I'm rebuying for 600 all the time now. And some other guy's rebuying for like 300 or whatever. And I have king 10 suited, and it comes 10xx. And the guy who always goes all in. I call. He has pocket 10s. Okay, so I had king 10 suited and I flopped 10xx in the guy's pocket 10s. Great. And doubled him up. And then I have queen 10 suited. It comes queen jack 3, two-tone. I fold the flop correctly. Okay, then I bluff and win with 7-6 on ace jack jack. So yes, these guys are right. I'm a very lucky player. I have 7-6 as ace jack jack. I won that. So lucky. And then this is a good hand. I have ace 10 of hearts. And I squeeze after everyone limps, and a short stack goes all in. I call, like, the pot's huge, this is the gardens. He has pocket 10s, and I have ace 10 of hearts, and he wins. Chips. And then, this is a really special one. I have ace 10, again, not suited, and it's ace 10x, and some guy check raises me and barrels off. And I call, and he has pocket 10s. The fuck's going on here? I keep, case 10 keeps coming out and people have a set of 10s and I have to call chips again. And then I lose a flip all in, chips again. And I bluff a few, I win a few small pots and I'm tilting. The grizzled vet in me is out. I knew when they said I was running hot, when I wasn't running that fucking hot. I knew, you know, it's irrational, but I just felt like I was going to run like dog shit the rest of the night. And I did, and I wasn't playing great, and there's no really way to play great in these super short buy-in games, and I don't know. I'm giving some speeches to the table. It's true. I am. I'm a little bit grizzled, and I don't know. Sometimes it comes out, and it's time for my worst play. I have king-queen, and I think someone opens, and I just call, and B-Funk maybe three bets behind me, or I'm not sure how it went, but I'm out of position to him. And I have king, queen, and I call, and it comes king, jack, eight, and he fires, and I call, and the turn is a seven, and he fires again, like, you know, 200 and something. I call, I have king, queen, it's king, jack, eight, seven, B-Funk. The river's a nine for king, jack, eight, seven, nine. I check, he goes to check, and he lifts up his cards. I'm not kidding. He goes to check, and lifts up his card, and looks back, and looks at the board, and then bets small, like 200 into like 1200 or something. And I know he made a flush. I still pay it off just in case, like, I'm off, in case he's like trolling me or something, which he wasn't. He just didn't even know he had a straight, and he river straight with jack 10. So actually running god awful, but I should have folded to that 200 whatever river bet, even though it was small. I knew he had a 10. I knew it. So he got lucky. And I should have folded anyways. And then there's another $50 bomb pot. I have 9-3 offsuit. Everyone's in. It comes 9-7-3. Okay, cool. I bet pot. Some guy calls. Turns a 7. Okay. 9-7-3 rainbow. I bet pot with top and bottom. Guy called. Turns the worst card in the deck. I check. He checks. The river's an 8. I check. He bets. I fold. And he shows 6-5. So he had a double gutter on the flop. And because the turn card was a 7, he got to see the river. And he binked. And now I'm losing every hand. And I'm down a lot for this game. And I realize I'm not going to play good. You know, it's, this game was not that great. And something about this whole place is fucking tilting me. I used to love the gardens. I loved it when it was a tent. It had the best vibe of anywhere I played. It was, I mean, I don't know. I loved Commerce too, but this whole, like, turn up the heat on the players, just, like, not have good food anymore, not have free food, not even have cocktails, and just make the cap, the buy-ins so low. That I get it. It's just all a rake business, but I'm a professional poker player. I would rather do other stuff. I'd rather go to a bar and listen to some fucking blues player playing the guitar than sit around and just, you know, contribute to the rake. Yeah, so I want a game where, you know, the rake's going to make money, but also a good player has a chance. That's why I fucking came up with the Hustler game. And this 600 cap, 5, 5, 10, 20, $50 bomb pods. And I'm just tilted. I'm really fucking tilted. I don't know. It's just been a frustrating night. And I could probably handle this shit better if I ever, you know, took a break in life. But also I can't. I mean, right now it's 1:34 a.m. and I'm working, and because I took a nap earlier, and like, I don't know, man. So I get in this mode where I'm at the table and I know I'm fucking, irate and like, I'm not like being super toxic, but I'm not being chill. And it's just, obviously it's just a story, but you know, if I had slept ever or had a day where I didn't do anything or watched a show or a movie or anything, I would be more prepared to handle this stuff. And I'm not. I'm handing out speeches to these players at the Gardens, and it looks like I'm punting it off, but I'm having good hands and they're having a set of tens every time and everything's going wrong. And I didn't run like a luck box at all actually on this night. And I decided I'm going to pick up with my scraps. I played for 4 hours total between the Hustler and the Gardens. And I lost about four lives. So a good amount to lose in this little joke game. And you know, I just shouldn't be playing a game where you can only buy them for $600. It's just, even though I'm not flush at all, I'm in debt. Fuck that. I mean, no way. I shouldn't do that. And you know, I really was not happy at all. And it's like 2 a.m. Let me scroll up and see. Well, I know it's going to be Monday, but let me see what the date is. Yeah, Monday the 6th. And I know I'm going to be in the booth calling a high stakes game in, you know, a little over 12 hours. And it's going to be people I used to battle with. And they're going to be sitting with 100K, whatever. And I'm going to be thinking how I lost fucking 3K at the Gardens in a game. And it was just kind of a joke. And it's going to be a lot to deal with, but it's going to build character. And, you know, it's going to make it even sweeter when I actually do rise again, when I do go on a heater. And I don't know, if you want to see what happens next in my life, well, just tune in again on Thursday, because all the drops are public this week. And this was the bonus session, and this is normal. It's a normal week of sessions where Monday is the lead up. That's where you get the life story stuff. The intimate stuff, to be honest, when it's public, I don't get that intimate. I keep a lot of things out just to protect certain people in my life. But when it's Patron only, I get a little more intimate. I don't care. I trust the Patrons. And there are, you know, well over 300 of them. But anyways, this is a taste of it. Monday is a lead up. Tuesday is a bonus session. And that's stuff you don't usually hear if you're not a Patron. And then Thursday is the session plus scoreboard check, which if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, but you're not a Patron, you're used to just hearing that. And then the interview on Friday. Well, you're going to hear that on Thursday, the session plus scoreboard check. I'm going to get back to the Hustler and, you know, in between this moment in time and when I play again, I'm going to talk to the GM of the Hustler and I'm going to get it squared away. And you know, he's vowed to, like, listen to what I say. And if he doesn't want to hear it, like, tell me. I don't ever want to be the guy fucking shouting out suggestions if no one wants them. But he does, and we'll get that resolved. And that's a spoiler that the next session I'm going to play on Thursday, we're actually going to do a lead out. That's another part of this podcast where it's what? How many parts is it? It's lead up, bonus session, lead out, and session plus scoreboard check. It's four parts every week. But sometimes I do the lead up and the bonus session, one drop or, you know, whatever. But Thursday is going to be the lead out. So you're going to hear what happened in my life after 2 a.m., you know, on Monday. What the fuck date is it again? I think it's the 6th. Yeah, Monday, September 6th, 2 a.m., I'm cashing out. You know, I booked a nice loss at the Gardens, and I need to get an Uber or a Lyft back to the Doubletree in Torrance. And then, you know, I need to get some sleep, and I got to work on my podcast, and then I got to go over to the Hustler and get in the booth, and hopefully I'm good. My second run on Hustler Casino Live, still a lot to learn, and just not totally settled with the graphics and whatnot, but and it's always a little bittersweet when I'm commentating with players that I've played against, I've battled against just many, many hands. And it wasn't as big as they're playing now, but it was much bigger than I'm playing now. And it's okay. I can't be more humble than I am now. I've won a lot in poker, but very humble about it. And life's humbled me, and that's okay. Humility is a good thing. And if you've noticed, I try and make these drops an hour, every time. And I was at the end at like 38 minutes. So I've been stretching a little bit. I've been stretching it out. And sometimes I speed up at the end because, I don't know, that's what I try and do for my listeners. Just give them an hour, four times a week, where they ain't thinking about their own shit. They're like, wow, this guy's life is pretty repetitive. And he's pretty resilient. He's a good dad. He's fucking D-gen. He doesn't have insight into this. He does have pretty good insight into that. Maybe I don't have insight into some things. And anyways, I'm spewing my balls off right now. Sorry about that. That happens. But anyways, yeah, tune in on Thursday. You'll get the lead out. What happens, what kind of Lyft driver do I get? What happens in that vehicle? Does something spicy happen? I don't know. You're going to have to find out on Thursday. And then, how does it go when I commentate that high-stakes game? And then how does my next session go? Will I run as hot as I did in this one, Moose and B-Funk? I hope so. All right. See you on Thursday. Peace.
I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. He's gotta be soon, it's gotta be soon, and it's gotta be larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.